Welcome to our podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. For more information about NCCF, log on to newcovenantchristianfellowship.com. Thank you and God bless. Process of the journey that so many of us have been on when we've been liberated from some of those limitations and those boundaries that have been set on us by perhaps even a religious upbringing. It brings me right into this idea, and I brought this about a month ago, that some of us have been raised up and grown up in what we would call a bounded set. You guys remember me talking about this? Where there are four distinct boundaries, and I'll just kind of quickly overview this. And it's all about becoming part of, belonging, being in, as compared to being out. And so many of our systems of religion and the traditions of man would create a bounded set. But I want to share this with you. It's not limited to religion. There are bounded sets that are established all over in our culture. And a set would be kind of like a way of saying the definition for belonging. And so if it's in the context of religion, oftentimes one of the main entry points into that group would be your belief system. So belief would be at the top of that. Then over here you might have behavior. And then over here you might have your service to the mission, their mission. And then over here at the bottom of it, it all kind of boils down to this melding of yourself into the collective group where you kind of lose yourself because you have this strong desire to be in. Actually, what your strong desire is, you have a strong desire to be embraced. But it's not formulated in the language of your understanding yet. And so you would settle for a bounded set where as long as you behave the way that the set has said that you need to behave, as long as you form your beliefs to match the beliefs that are within that set, and as long as you are serving the overall vision and losing yourself in that, then you are in. Which means that if you miss any one of these, then you can be out. And some of you have experienced trauma, tremendous spiritual trauma, because you have been ejected out of a group of people because you did not fit that bounded set. And so I wanted to just bring that up as kind of like a backdrop, where sometimes the eject button is pushed by God. It's not always through other people. Sometimes God is like, okay, this was useful for you in a season, and now it's time to move beyond that and enter into a different type of set, which we discovered a month or so ago to be the center set. And that is where Christ is central. And it doesn't matter exactly like how far away you might be perceived, as long as you are moving towards Jesus, you're in. Because so many of the bounded sets that I know of, actually Christ is not even found in there. In fact, Jesus would confront the Pharisees when he would say, look, you would search the scriptures, but you never come to me. You would search all of these doctrines and this dogma, and yet you would never actually discover me. And so he was actually establishing the contrast between the bounded set and the center set. And he did that right in front of all the folks who were very committed and loyal to the bounded set when he would let a sinner come in to the place of their dining and worship Jesus with her tears and break an alabaster jar of perfume and pour it onto his feet. Or the countless number of people who turned towards Jesus, even in their humanity and brokenness, because they had not yet discovered that in order, well, they had probably been discovered that in order to be in, you have to conform to the behavior and the beliefs. But let me tell you what happens in the bounded set. Your issues go underground. Because the primary value in a bounded set is change, not transformation. You would change in order to fit in. So again, a legitimate longing to be embraced. Okay, so then the center set is this interesting, beautiful dynamic where, I mean, just as a dramatic point, I mean, you could be a meth dealer and you could be pimping out your girlfriend for your next fix or whatever, and you have a moment where you come to realization that you are in need of a Savior, and you turn towards Jesus, you're in. It may take years in order for your behavior to actually match what Scripture tells you is appropriate. But the thing is not, in the center set, it's not about getting this person to comply with the bounded set and change according to fitting in with the bounded set. It's about the transformation of Jesus in their life. And that's the beauty of the center set. Now, the other thing I want to say about center set is that you don't have to be whole to be embraced. You do not have to be whole to be embraced in the center set. So if you're in, then you're in. And I can say you're in with full confidence. And let me just tell you why I can say it with full confidence. It's because when you say you're in, it's because of your position with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17 tells us that the one who joins himself with the Lord is one spirit with him. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And since you are in Christ, you are embraced. You are a member. A member of what? Well, a member of the one body, the body of Christ. And yet, and this is where I want to spring into some of the stuff that Brian was sharing, not all who are in are ready for leadership. And so we understand that while maturity is not a prerequisite for that kind of membership, you know, maturity is not a prerequisite to be in the body. It's not a prerequisite to be in with Christ. It's not a prerequisite to be embraced by a community of faith. Because in the center set, your issues don't have to go underground. Your issues can be actually transparent, and there can be people that can walk with you all for the sake of that transformation. And that's why, you know, Scripture would tell us that, you know, hey, confess your sins one to another so that you can be praying for one another and be what? Healed. It can be a healing process. Now, I know some of you, when you hang out with me long enough, you know that I'm kind of into the healing thing with Jesus, you know, like the inner healing, the stuff of the heart and the stuff of, you know, soul restoration and those amazing things. But I do want to tell you this. I'm not a moralistic therapeutic deist. Some of you are like, what? What did he just say? Moralistic therapeutic deist. Okay? I'm a man of grace, seriously. And I am a man who understands that Christ is central. Now, a moralist would say that grace is soft on sin. A moralist would actually say, look, you're pretty soft on sin when you talk about all this grace stuff. But let me just tell you this. The fundamentalists are actually soft on sin, and I'll tell you why. Because they think that sin is so small that you can handle it. But a person of grace understands that sin is not small. In fact, it is so big that it requires the blood of Jesus and the power of the resurrection to overcome it in your life. And you cannot do it on your own. Right? And so, I'm hard on sin because I'm a grace man. But I'm not a behavior modification guy. You know, I'm not a moralistic therapeutic deist. I'm not a behavior mod guy. I'm not into sin management. I'm actually into transformation. I'm actually into this thing where if you had, you know, I mean, honestly, like counseling and therapy and all that, it's fine. I've actually enjoyed experiencing some of that myself. But it's always been a springboard into having an episodic experience with Jesus who literally creates new neural pathways in your mind and in your thinking. We call that renewing your mind, right? And you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. So there's a transformation that comes not just from a deist, like this higher power, removed, distant. And we understand that there's a process of people discovering and understanding who the Trinity really is. And so they might have language like higher power, whatever. But I actually know some deists who are professing Christians who would, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and just say it, they're what we call Bible deists, where the third person of the Trinity is Holy Bible and not Holy Spirit. The Bible is the Word of God. I love it. I believe it's literal, and I take it that way. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We're Christocentric. I believe that Jesus is God, and that He is central to all things, and that He is our source, not only of life, but of joy and peace and all of the things that we're kind of really craving for, actually. So let's get with it and move towards Him. And this process of moving towards Him and maturing into the fullness of Christ, that's a subset that would be found within. Okay, I know I'm throwing a lot of big language at you, but I hope you're impressed, really. No, seriously, like the thing is, and this language works for me because I understand it, and so bear with me. If you have questions about it, you know, ask me later. But there's a subset within the central point towards Jesus, and it's what's known as a formational set. And the Bible actually is very clear about this. So we're going to talk about the formational set here for just the next few minutes. It's this process of growing in relationship with Jesus in such a way that your life reflects more and more accurately the desires of God. You get that? I mean, this formational set is a process of you growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ in such a way that your life literally begins to reflect more and more accurately the desires of God. I mean, Ephesians 4 is really clear that, and it's Ephesians 4:11 if you're making notes, that He gives some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and some to be pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, Jesus, to what? To a mature man. To the measure of stature, which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And as a result, we are no longer children tossed here and there by waves and carried along by every wind of doctrine and by the trickery of men and the bounded sets and all these other things that are crafty and deceitful and all of that stuff that are intended to rob you and not give. I ad-libbed there a minute. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up, we are to grow up in all respects unto Him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. There is a growth process that we are going through, individually, corporately, and the Lord is putting His finger on it because He's calling some of us to mature. He's calling me to mature in some areas of my life. And so there are some things that God is forming in you, and it's bringing a spiritual maturity, and it's equipping you for the righteous works that it's already been predestined that God wants us to do righteous works, not for the sake of getting in, but for the sake of maturing and being an expression and pouring out our lives to the people around us. And so in this, I'm going to reiterate that it begins with the place of being newly born. And it moves through, and there's no time constraint on this, and there's no real boundaries when it comes to your growth process. I mean, young or old, the process is unique to your story. So you can be 60 years old and enter into spiritual infancy, right? It's all good. We do not despise spiritual infancy. We cherish it. There is so much that's formed in that place of complete dependence on Father God. There is so much that is formed in that place. And yet God, in His love for us, He won't allow us to stay in that place forever. There are new things to be formed into your life, and it's to build on those foundational elements of God's Word. And there are some milestones, and so I want to talk to you a little bit about these. And so I've got my notes here, so I'm not running back and forth. And we know that at the beginning of this, it's called infancy. And then that moves us into child. And if you're making notes, awesome. Adolescence. I'm hooked on phonics, young adult, and then adult. If we're going to take the language of Scripture where it talks about going from being a child, craving milk, and then moving into the place where you are actually experiencing the meat of God's word, the words of Christ, then that's awesome. And we know that when you experience spiritual birth, that's what happens at infancy, spiritual birth, then there is this, talk about an explosion. I mean, there's this celebration of Jesus. Go back there in that space in your heart because it's still alive. There was this celebration of him. All right, so that's one of the things that is marked by this. And while there's this celebration of him, there's also this embrace by a community. We come into this place of, and I'm thinking in terms of Jesus. I mean, Jesus was not only embraced by a community, but that community consecrated him, you know, and they also protected him. And there was a beautiful dynamic that was happening with Jesus in his infancy that we can experience in our spiritual infancy. We don't always, and this is where some breakdowns can happen for us in our journey towards leadership and maturing into Christ. And yet we are called to be a part of a community of faith. And yet at this stage, there is the birth of kind of that spiritual narcissism, which I'm not saying is a negative thing at all. It really is about me. And so I'll go ahead and put that here. It's going to be important. It is about me, and that's okay. I mean, there is this grace-saturated embrace that we experience, and we love it, and we need to be in that place. We need to experience that. We need to feel that, and we need to have that as a real foundational understanding of that's my place with God. And then we move into childhood, and this is like Jesus, you know, he grew in what? Wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and man, from the time he was like 13 on until, you know, when he showed back up on the scene some years later. And so there is this wisdom that starts to develop, even in a child. And not only stature as in physical size, but, you know, just you begin to grow spiritually. And here's the real thing. We begin to see the big story. And our eyes start to lift from me to us. This is a natural formational process. And you can kind of timeline your own journey. Some of you have been through this. Some of you are parked right here in this place or that place. It's okay. It's all good. There's no judgment in this at all. Again, it's the direction and movement. So that moves us into the adolescent stage where we begin to understand at a deep level that we are chosen and that we are loved. You know you're kind of stuck if you have a hard time receiving love. You know you're still kind of waffling back and forth in here and you're coming into a place of adolescence spiritually and yet you have a hard time receiving love. You have a hard time receiving the message that you have been chosen. And yet when you come into that place and you start to settle in there, then you become empowered. A lot of us came into the things of the Spirit in this stage. Some of you, you had an accelerated growth rate. It's awesome. Okay? And yet for some of us, this is when the empowerment of the Holy Spirit started to really make sense to us and we started to crave it and long for it. And we started to ask God for all of his spiritual gifts. We started to really eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. And we started to experience that empowerment. And yet, in this place, your identity is tested. And I won't take the time to, you know, tell you story after story of people in Scripture that have moved into this place right here. And maybe they were in their 40s or even their 80s. And there was a testing that happened of their identity that moved them into this other place. But here's what begins to happen. You begin to step into whatever it is, all right? So in this place of your identity being tested, you step into it. We'll put that in quotes because that can mean a lot of different things. And essentially what you understand is that your identity is connected to partnership with Jesus, and so it is about him. And I'll move through this. So what this begins to develop in us is a message. And then as a young adult, this message begins to form in you. You can articulate the things that are important, the value structures, the truth. You understand the big picture. You're empowered. You know that you're chosen and you're loved. You begin to step into it with Jesus, and you begin to proclaim some things about the truth of who God is. And you begin to submit to the mission of Christ. And so we'll say you have a message, but you also have a mission. And it's the mission of Christ in your life. Hugely important. And so what begins to kind of earmark this era for you and your spiritual growth and development is you begin to value not only being mentored, which happens in these, but you begin to value mentoring others. You become a mentor in this place. And so what happens is you have this engagement and it becomes about them. Which brings me into this last one here, the adult. And some of you are having to kind of crink your neck. You might not be able to see it. So this spot right here, what Scripture would refer to as the mature man. Okay, what happens here is, and it's been forming, all of these things have been forming, and it's a building process. Hey, when you lock in on this, it doesn't mean that this disappeared. It doesn't mean that the celebration of Jesus disappeared. It doesn't mean that you can't have me experiences with Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're not still growing in wisdom and stature and you're beginning to see the bigger picture even more clearly, even in your young adult phase, as you're ministering to others, as you're beginning to express the mission and all of that. But what it does mean is that it's building upon itself. And so what starts to form in the adult phase is compassion. Doesn't mean that you don't have it peppered in here, but there's a convergence in your heart towards other people in a new way. And so what happens here in this place is you're brought back to the cross. This thing goes full circle. And you get brought back to the cross, and the message of the cross, when Jesus was at the Last Supper and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you, this is my blood which is poured out for you," you begin to understand that your life is the bread that is broken. It's the mature person in Christ that understands that when Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to take up my cross, it's saying, that's where we're headed, people. You're going to have fits and starts in here, but it's going to happen as you yield to this process of letting Christ be formed in your life. And so what that life of being broken and offered to other people, being poured out for other people, is what you could call a sacramental life. Your life becomes a sacrament. Your life is the life of Christ that is being poured out for other people. What happens then is this comes around in this sacramental life that we say bread broken and wine poured out. Jesus is the bread of life, and the Holy Spirit is the wine. I mean, our lives are being spent out for others, and yet it becomes, like I said, full circle back to me, but in a different way. It's not the life of you, but the death of you. And this is the maturity into Christ that he is talking about when he talks about a gathering of believers, a fellowship of believers within a local context here, a broader context of the city, where we begin to mature into one man, which is Christ's body, and we begin to experience a death of self. Now, it doesn't end there, right? Because after the death, the whole message of Christianity is the resurrection. And so there is this beautiful cycle then that the Lord is taking us on, but it is pointing us, and you're all leaders, and remember that you're servant leaders, and you're all teachers, and remember that you're teaching in love. And all of these pursuits are valid. Let me ask you the question. How many of you want to do great exploits in the kingdom? How many of you want to be great in the kingdom of God? That's great. It's a beautiful, valid pursuit. In fact, Jesus says, it's great, but remember, for you to be great in the kingdom, you're going to be a truth talker who's going to be willing to serve and humble yourself. And so that's where it comes down into this place right here. Because honestly, we have this cooperation that can happen with this formational set. And so I want to kind of wrap up by talking about this. What comes by hearing the Word of God? What comes? Faith. So if we have the words of Christ dwelling richly within us, not only the Logos, the written word, but the Rhema, the spoken word of Christ, then we know that there are several scriptures throughout the Bible that tell us that we're not to simply hear the words of Christ and have faith, that we are to actually put our faith into action, right? In fact, it would say some things like this. If you just listen and don't obey, then it's like looking at your face in the mirror but doing nothing to improve your appearance. That's one version. Faith without works is dead. We hear that. We understand that if you have faith but you don't put it into practice, it's like, you know, if a brother or sister is without clothing or without daily food, and one of you were to say to them, go in peace and be warmed and be filled, and yet you don't give them anything necessary for their bodies, then what use is that? So again, faith put into action is what's going to help us cooperate with this formational process. Every time the Lord encourages you to do something, and it feels like a stretch, and it feels like you're being pushed out of your comfort zone and having to take some risks, and you do it anyway, then guess what? You are cooperating with this formational process. Because we know that when we're faithful with the little things, God will bring increase and He will give us other things that we can be a part of. Our spheres begin to grow. And so this process of maturing into the full expression of Christ, it really becomes obedience to our faith. It becomes living it out in very practical ways. And so as we mature, we put our faithful actions into like this rhema word of Christ over our lives in the here and now. And so, hey, let me just tell you this one story. There's a specific thing that happened. I mean, it was yesterday. I'm not going too far back, okay? It was yesterday. And I was tired. Yesterday afternoon, I had worked hard. We had some celebrations all throughout the week. It was my birthday week. It was Zoe's birthday week. And so I was tired. And yet, I had committed to going to a youth gathering, and I was going to be helping out with this youth gathering. And I had a good out. I had to get ready for Sunday morning, for goodness sakes, you know? But you know what? The Lord put His finger on it. He's like, no, I actually called you to that, and I want you to do it. And so what I worried about is the same thing that most of us worry about. It's called burnout. And what happens when we worry about burnout is we begin to align ourselves with a false belief. And here's the false belief. We would even quote it like it's in Scripture, that God will not give you more than you can handle. You show me that in Scripture. God will always give you more than you can handle. God will let you get in over your head. In fact, He will call you into that. You want to know why? Because He wants to bring you back to this place right here where you are completely, absolutely dependent on Him. Some of us, when we think about being an offering, poured out, broken, given, we're like, man, I'm just trying to survive. I got nothing to give. But let me just tell you this. In my experience, when you put that faith, you've heard it, you heard God say, do it, you put that faith into action, even though you feel like you have not a whole lot to give, and yet, right as you step into that space, you're praying, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Empower me. Give me what I need. And if you got nothing for me to say, that's fine. I won't say a thing. But if you put something on my heart, I'll say it. I want to tell you what. Stepping into that space, experiencing the exhilaration of the Holy Spirit empowering you to do what He has called you to do in that particular situation, it will enliven your heart. It will awaken your thoughts. It will actually bring joy to you. It will actually give you more than you had before you started. You're worried about being depleted, and God's like, yeah, go ahead, but you need to understand that I am the vine, you are the branch, and you abide in me and I in you, right? We're in. You're in. And therefore, everything that you pour out, God is going to return. And he does this without percentage. He does it with multiplication. I mean, God will return to you more than you ever give out. It's amazing. But the trick here, it's not really a trick, but the real key to this is not to get whipped up into a frenzy and just do whatever and wherever, but is to actually be in that relational context of listening and being moved by the Lord and taking some risks. But I'm not going to let you off the hook. Don't let that one be, well, I didn't hear the Lord. Because like, you know, you were saying, you know, sometimes we're not being that attentive. We have this selective hearing thing going. Look, I'm just encouraging all of us that God is moving us into a maturing process. It's been ongoing for some years, for many of us. And this process is all for the sake of us experiencing compassion, giving ourselves out to others, that sacramental life. And it's also a place of finding the rhythm between working and receiving, giving and resting. That cycle and that rhythm was not man-made. God created that cycle, right? And so we can rest assured that God wants us to enter into that. So you guys good with me? You're tracking? So here's the point. You know the point. Say yes to the process. Take some risks. Step out in faith. Do more than you think you can. Let yourself get in over your head. You are surrounded by a company of people in the community of faith that you're in who want to love you and support you and pray for you and care for you as you go into this process more deeply. One of the big setbacks is when someone who has yet to discover the embrace of a community gets launched into the young adult mission of leadership prematurely. Some of us have experienced that, I myself included. Here's what happens. Because the deep longings of being embraced by a community of people and understanding that we have a family of faith has not been settled in my heart, my message will be tainted for the sake of attracting others to myself so that I can have some warped sense of validation. You see what I'm saying? Because that was not answered in the right order. And that's why some of us, even though we have been in leadership for some years, it seems like the Lord has taken us back around to revisit some things that are essential for us moving ahead. It's not a setback. It's not because you failed. It's not because God put you on a shelf. It's not because you blew it. It's because God is so committed to this process of you maturing into the fullness of Christ because He is our center, that He would be willing to take us back around to revisit some things. So cooperate with it. Good. That's it. That's all I got to share. And I'm going to pray for all of you, because when I look at you, I don't see in and out people. You're all in. And what I do see is us walking alongside each other in this process of maturing into the fullness of who we are in Christ. And that's a beautiful partnership that we can have with each other. Okay, Lord, I want to ask you right now to address this fear that we are going to be so depleted that we're going to shrivel up and die. And there's an aspect of that that's true, and yet your word is very clear that when one gives himself and gives up his life, they gain everything. And so help us to cross that threshold in our trust of you. Help us to cross over into that space of saying, God, you have called me to a sacramental life where I am poured out and I am broken and offered to others. But it's compassion that's going to motivate my heart, and it's your compassion for people. And so, Father, let your love come now and dispel that fear. Let your compassion come now and displace any fear that we would have that we do not have what it takes. Your compassion trumps that fear. And now, Lord, this week, you're going to give us opportunities. You're going to speak to us. You're going to encourage us. You're going to ask us to step out beyond our comforts. You're going to help us take some risks. And so I ask, Lord, that you would Grace us now with a yes in our hearts for that, that we would experience the joy of walking in partnership with you, Jesus, into areas of expression and giving that only you can create. So we give that to you now, and we just thank you for our time together. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.